Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey folks, before we start the show, let's talk about our Patreon page at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. The Bob Seska Show is almost entirely fueled by you, our Patreon subscribers, and we couldn't do 4+ shows a week without your generous financial support. So if you dig what you hear today, please consider signing up for just $1 per month or $5 per month on our Patreon page. And depending on your pledge, you'll get all kinds of bonus content from me and my troop of co-hosts. Plus, it's actually the best place to contact me in person as we continue to post exclusive content like our post-mortem shows twice per week, as well as the Friday After Party podcast and commercial-free versions of this show. So get going. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com, or just click the all-caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Doctor's office.
Hi. Oh, hello. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, we had some fireworks that were left over from the 4th of July, and I blew one off in my hand.
Hello, can I help you?
Hello, oh boy. Listen, I was lighting firecrackers that were left over from the 4th of July, and I blew...
When did you do this?
Oh, about a little while, half an hour.
Okay, what kind of firework?
It was a firecracker.
Okay.
It looked like, you know, when you finish with the toilet paper, the empty tube?
Yes.
It looked like that, about that size.
Okay.
And,
It's not a firecracker, that's like an M80 then.
Oh, boy, it's big, and it, my hand does not look good.
I suggest that you go to an emergency room.
Yeah, this was a firecracker, and the fuse, and all of a sudden...
What you can do in the meantime is get a towel.
Fantastic. A towel? It's stinging me like crazy. You know, these firecrackers, my God, I can't even... Really, I'll tell you, I don't even see fingers, but maybe it's just because I'm numb and stingy.
Get to an emergency.
Oh, boy, I really did it good this time.
Okay.
Okay, let me wrap this up, and I'll see you with my nub.
Okay.
Right.
Bob Seska.
Is that the full poop?
And nothing but the poop.
The Bob Seska Show.
You have no idea how much I needed to hear that one from the Jerky Boys. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, July 6, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 168 of the Biden-Harris administration, 590 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And here he is. Buzz is here.
When you say Buzz Burbank.
Yep.
You've said it all.
Hello.
I told you, taping the windows does no good. Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And we've both been banned from the Olympics.
Absolutely.
I know we'll talk about this more, but generally speaking, how was your fourth, Bob? Did you have a good holiday?
It was great.
A lot of people were complaining about fireworks, as a matter of fact. But here's the thing. What people forget when they complain about loud fireworks, it helps cover up the gunshots. So there's a bright side to everything.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Bob. We now have over 1 million listeners.
Wait, where? How?
That includes the test votes.
Okay.
forgot to take those out.
Right.
This is funny. People, I went to a street fair over the weekend, outdoors, so I think I was safe. Mm-hmm. But people were stopping me on the street and asking me about the show and about money, which I thought was odd. But here's what they asked me. They say, Buzz, how much do you pay Bob to be on his show?
That's totally unnecessary.
I was hurt. I was a little hurt. Actually, Bob is a great boss. He has offered to pay my cable bill. Well, come play along. Actually, Bob's a great boss. He offered to pay my cable bill if I keep it off the books.
Lots to say about this one, I swear to God. Oh, my God.
Work out.
Yeah.
A lot happened while we were away.
Yes.
We'll try to cover some of it, I know. Mm. One of the things we learned over the break, we learned that what the Pentagon has been hiding all these years about UFOs
mm-hmm.
is that it knows nothing about UFOs.
That is so true.
No wonder they were hiding it.
I know.
We learned that Bill Cosby, both actually, Bill Cosby and Justice are legally blind.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Came to yep. that. And last week, Congress voted to remove the government's Confederate statue.
Yeah.
What you haven't heard is that right afterward, the remaining statues voted to remove the Confederates in Congress.
The Bob Seska Show.
Yeah, here's a classic from Rocky Mountain Mike. Sing along at home if you have to.
They're creepy and they're kooky. His face is orange kabuki. They've acted kind of crooky, the Donald family. Their house a destination, a viral infestation. Avoid that whole location, the Donald family.
I want to be nasty, do you mind?
Tweet.
And this is their new hoax.
Deceit.
Petite.
So send him and his clansmen all to Uzbekistan's men. You know that we can't stand him, the Donald's family.
All right. Rocky Mountain Mike, Rocky_Mountain_Mike on Instagram. Go follow him now. Oh, man.
You had a vacation.
Yes, I did.
A vacation. Mm-hmm. How are you? How was it?
I need a few more vacations, actually.
Yes,
yeah,
you do.
Yeah. That's the way I always feel. That's not breaking news at all. As soon as I'm done with a vacation, I'm like, boy, I could use several more days of that. You know, I wonder, could I get away with not doing the Tuesday show? It's like, I gotta come to work today.
No,
yeah,
not after I sweat over a hot stove making jokes. No.
You know, I had a great break. I mean, it was one of the best that I've had in recent memory, and part of the reason was, for some reason, I guess being disconnected from covering the news. Obviously, I stayed in touch with everything that was going on. I mean, how could I not? Plus, I spent a lot of time on Twitter, but not having to jam my face into the plasma stream on a constant basis. It was amazing because I could actually breathe. It was a physical sensation about it where I felt like there was air in my lungs and energy in my body. And
there was, there's a whole world out there and you got a glance at it, on your bicycle, you put in some miles and it's not the most social activity in the world, unless you're Stephanie Miller. And then, you know, it's like a gang.
There's the rub. That's why every other day I was riding miles and miles in the blazing hot sunshine. At one point, I drove up to Gettysburg with my bike. I just carried my bike up to Gettysburg, rode around Gettysburg in big circles all around the battlefield and through the town and everything like that. And it was like 110 in the sun, and it was brutal. It was brutal.
Yeah.
But the reason I'm doing all this is specifically to get in shape so that when I go bike riding with Stephanie Miller eventually, she doesn't drop me like a bad habit. As soon as, you know, 5 miles in, suddenly Stephanie Miller, who's like Madam Fitness. She's like,
I don't see that happening. In fact, you said to me over the break that you were biking like you hadn't biked in 6 years, that you were almost back to your old self in that way.
Well, yeah, the operative word there is almost.
That's quite a way.
Well, it's
since you've been indoors the past year.
But in the meantime, I upgraded my PC, so fingers crossed that the show is going to sound okay when we're done recording it.
I'm sorry, you're dropping out a little.
Yeah, I finally was using Windows 7 Windows 7 Pro for the longest time, because I'm a professional. Look it up in the book. That's what we do. We're pros. We never cop out. We never tell you that we're ill or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert. And you see, I go into the Larry King thing automatically. But and so I finally upgraded to Windows 10, and that's my operating system now. And, you know, of course, when I turn on my computer, it's like, please let the podcast work. And I spent several days when I wasn't bike riding, I spent a lot of time fixing my computer, getting of the things to work again, right?
Well, between the Twitter and the working on the computer, and I, you know, yeah, I think you need some more vacation time, and maybe do it when it's not 110 degrees. Outside.
Well, hey, there were a couple of days when it was 72 and sunny and breezy and perfection. And so those were the days that I was living for. But for some reason, I think some people thought that this past week, we were just done with shows. The show was going away, and we weren't going to do any more shows anymore ever. And so people dropped off of Patreon. They're like, I guess Bob's not doing shows. I was getting emails from Patreon subscribers who had already canceled their membership going, why aren't you doing shows anymore? Is the show done? Have you been canceled? What's going on? And I got to go, no. Resubscribe. Go back and subscribe again, because we're still doing shows. I'm just taking a break. And if you listen to that last week of shows before the break, you would know that I was taking a break, because I said it like every other sentence. It's like we'd be in the middle of talking about how Trump's an a-hole or something. I got to go, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm going on break next week. You know, so it's really hard to miss, but I think some people missed it. But if you want to sign up again, if you want to sign up for the first time, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow or BobSeskaShow.com. Both of those addresses will take you right there. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, Bob, and the people listening right now.
let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something. and this is true. Listenership and viewership to news programming has dropped nearly 40% since the first of the year.
Yeah, I heard that.
That's the cable news networks. That's the nightly news. That's the news, period. Mm. And Americans, you know, one of the things that was a plus of the Trump era, and we're still living in it a little bit, and that's the real frightening thing. But during the Trump presidency, people paid attention and became more engaged in politics. And we've talked in recent shows about how important it is for everybody to engage right now to save democracy. Certainly something we can do by 2022, but only if people are paying attention. Mm-hmm. The sad news here, and maybe our top story, is that people are slowly not paying attention again.
Yeah.
And you know where that got us last time. Stay in touch, stay informed. Continue to subscribe to this show and other news programming, because people have shown less interest in the news since the first of the year, certainly since Biden's inauguration.
Yeah.
A lot of people have put it on autopilot and think, you know, like the old days, we don't have to think about that every day. Well, we don't have to think about the president every day, but we do have to think about what is still very much underway in this country and the threat that still looms very large in an existential way to our democracy. And so it's very concerning to me that news viewership is down by 38% since the first of the year.
Wow.
This is very, 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 very bad news.
Yeah.
Please be one of the people to help counteract that. Not only subscribe and continue to subscribe, urge others to do so. Support the media out there, because these are the only voices that are going to bring you developments in what is going on in this country right now.
Yeah.
And at the same time, interest in weather has increased since the first of the year by 7%.
Interesting.
Which is one of the reasons that we're about to see a proliferation of weather channels, including one from Rupert Murdoch. The Fox Empire is going to start a weather channel. And, you know, that's what you want from people who don't believe in climate change. It has inspired the Weather Channel to invent something called Weather Channel Plus. So you're going to see competition heating up in the weather market. And obviously that affects everybody, including myself, the threat of a tropical storm today. But I'm very concerned about this waning interest in current events in the news. We need more of that, not less. This is no time to stop paying attention.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that Rupert Murdoch Weather Channel now.
Yes,
I'm thinking about the kind of weather that it's going to cover. It's going to cover like Barack Obama's weather weapons. It's going to be like Alex Jones is going to come on once an hour and go, okay, we got a ton of airplanes and little helicopters moving a bunch of tornadoes around in middle Arkansas and Oklahoma. And so
Sean Hannity will be along with your 5-day in a moment. even viewership at Fox News has waned, also down, in the neighborhood of 38%. It's part of that average.
Yeah.
And hence, that's why Rupert's starting up a weather channel, to try to pick up where the new market is developing. That of course, is its own concern. My greater concern.
Yes.
Because in much the same way I can choose a news channel other than Fox, I can choose a weather channel other than Fox.
Mm-hmm.
What concerns me is the fact that people have stopped. Too many people, nearly 4 in 10 of us, nearly 2 in 5 of us, have stopped paying attention, have stopped keeping up on current events.
The concern there is that when they re-engage, they're not going to have been following all the developments, especially what's been happening in Congress, for example, some of the laws that have been passed. And so what this will manifest, this disconnect from news, is once people re-engage, you're going to be like, oh, the Democrats haven't really passed the things that I've wanted, so fuck all the Democrats. And even though the House has passed many of the things that we want, and suffice to say, not laws yet, but the House of Representatives, the House Democrats, of which every single one will be on the ballot in 22, they've all passed the things that we want. So there's no need to necessarily punish them.
They've heard your requests and acted upon them to the best of their ability.
Exactly right. And so that's my concern is people are going to just reengage and go, I have no idea what's going on, so F everybody. You know, screw all the Dems. I'm going to vote third party or whatever.
In some ways, we've shot ourselves in the foot by claiming control of the Senate because we don't really have control of the Senate.
Yeah.
But there's a way to fix that, ending the filibuster. By the way, I wrote about the origin of the word filibuster. It was both Dutch and Spanish for to pirate.
Also my radio name in 1973. I was Phil A. Buster on the radio in 1972. Buster, yeah. It was an amazing, or did I say 73? 73, definitely 73.
73.
Yeah, I was in Rochester, New York. I was working
down
up there.
Down to town, up and down the dial,
So there's a tropical storm bearing down on your house, as if we didn't have enough good news. There is.
I have the curtains closed behind me to protect me from shards of glass, but I haven't. I haven't looked out. But I didn't put the storm shutters up this time because it ain't a hurricane. But we are gonna get 65-mile-an-hour winds probably, and there's a flood warning and a hurricane watch and a tropical storm warning and a storm surge warning. And I understand we can handle about a 3-foot storm surge. They're predicting a storm surge of 2 to 4 feet. So either we'll be okay or we won't. But, I've moved all the outdoors, all the objects that could become projectiles have been moved indoors, and things have been... strapped down with bungee cords.
We'll
hope for the best.
I'm really concerned about the integrity of your curtains, though. Have your curtains been certified to protect human beings against shards of glass? Are they of that quality? I mean, they must be super thick then. Are they made of chain mail, Buzz?
It's woven steel. It's surgical grade steel, so we should be fine.
Jesus. Well, good luck to you. Holy God. When is it supposed to hit your area? When's the ETA?
The heavy rain should start the first band. You know, it spins off like a pinwheel.
Yeah.
It spins off bands of rain, and the first band of heavy rain should be through here any minute now.
Oh, wonderful. Hey, perfect timing. So make sure to keep us updated when it does, especially if there are shards of glass involved. Oh, my God. So let's see. Well, the big story of the week while we were away was, of course, the whole set of indictments that came down against the Trump Organization and Alan Weisselberg. This was big fucking news. And the beginning of many. In fact, when we signed off prior to the break, it was just a rumor. It was just a news story that the indictments were going to be handed down. Well, they were officially handed down last week, and the word first keeps getting thrown into these articles. So what we're looking at is the first of many indictments. In fact, there were some reporters from the New York Times digging into this and saying, yeah, we can probably expect some more indictments along these lines from Cy Vance's office in the fall. So this is the beginning of what has a very strong, very real potential of sending Donald Trump to jail and sending him to prison.
It does. It does. And let's get to right. Let's get right to why. And that is because he signed a lot of those checks. So it is impossible for him to deny knowledge of what went on there. And all roads are leading to him. By the way, does Kimberly refer to Weisselberg as Whistleberg? Is that what she's been?
I noticed that. I did. Yeah. I didn't have the heart to say.
But I mean, I thought she was doing it on purpose. That was a show of disrespect.
No.
But I like it. Let's adopt that. Let's call him Whistleberg. I like that a lot.
Well, I know you, when he first popped up in the news, I remember you called him Weaselberg. And so every time I see his name come up, I'm like, Buzz calls him Weaselberg. So I'm going to call him Weaselberg, too.
That's a good one. The judges will accept that answer also.
Well, this thing alone could get Donald Trump in a lot of trouble, and I'll tell you why. Okay. The two things that popped out to me over this past week regarding this story was, one, two sets of books. They kept two sets of books. And to me, that is so... I'll get to the second one in a second, though. That, to me, is so indicative of these moronic crooks. I mean, we've been saying from the beginning, these are the dumbest crooks in the history of dumb crooks. Remember the old segments on morning zoos where we talk about dumb criminals, the kicker stories would come down.
Yeah, crooks are stupid.
We've done all those things. And in this case, this is another story about crooks are stupid. Because this is this is like Wile E. Coyote painting a hole in the side of a cliff face and then running face first into it. This is just so dumb and cartoonish. Okay. There was an episode, I believe it was Schitt's Creek, I could be wrong, where one of the characters has his ledgers out. He goes, yeah, this is the ledger we keep track of, and this other ledger is the one we show the government. I've seen this done for comedic purposes in many occasions
and I think it has been done in crime families before. This is not new. It's in fact
Al Capone.
Keeping a second set of books has kind of become part of our slang. Capone did it too. That's the thing about this. Republicans, some of them are trying to write this off as, well, it was an oversight. They're not doing anything other corporations don't do. No, these are criminal acts, and they're serious. Very. If you break it down and read the details, as Bob has and as others have, you see these are serious charges. Whistleberg or Weaselberg faces 15 of them of his own. He says he's not going to flip. Some people think, some people have said, and perhaps you've heard this, that, well, that's the end of the case. If Weaselberg isn't going to cooperate, then we're not getting anywhere. I don't think that's true. I think there are other people below Weaselberg who will be talking if they haven't already. The other people named in this, the other people who are indicated in this without being named. The indictments do refer to other individuals, and they do refer to what appears to be Ivanka Trump, because not individual one, what are they calling her in this indictment again? I've forgotten the phrase.
No, that's a good question.
Unindicted co-conspirator.
There you go.
Ivanka's listed as an unindicted co-conspirator, and even though they don't call her out by name, it's very clear, because the Washington Post had reported months earlier on details of her status with the company, her financial relationship with the company, that indicates that she is most likely that unindicted co-conspirator. I don't know if she'll flip or not. Some people believe she already has. But you heard a lot of debate at the beginning of this. Is this a big deal or not a big deal? Is there going to be more? Is there not going to be more? We know now it is a big deal, and there is going to be more. And those points need to be clarified, because anything out there to the contrary, or even questions about it, simply muddy the water. The clear facts are it is a big deal, and there will be more.
Yeah, and in fact, going back to Ivanka, Mary Trump was interviewed by Molly Jongfast, and Mary Trump said to Molly Jongfast that Ivanka is the most likely to flip of the inner circle people. So. Mary Trump said she's much less likely to stay loyal than Alan Weisselberg. And then Molly Jongfast was incredulous. Like, wait, what? Really? Really? And
yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. And then Mary Trump said Alan had a pretty cushy gig where he was. And I think kind of in the grand scheme of things, as counterintuitive as this might sound, I think Ivanka has one, more to lose, and two, more to hang on to. Her husband's family is legitimately very wealthy. So, yeah, I mean, and I'm sure Ivanka doesn't want the state of New York or the city of New York to get its hands on any of that Kushner money. But what's amazing to me is that Weisselberg, the way I'm looking at this, I don't know if you disagree, Buzz, I don't think Weisselberg's ever going to flip. Weisselberg pled not guilty in this, which is going to subject him to the stiffest penalty if he's found guilty.
Yes, it will.
And so this seems like another Trump inner circle stooge going to prison for Donald Trump, which I find to be one of the most ludicrous things on the planet. This is even more ludicrous to me than keeping two sets of books. The fact that so many people are willing to go to the mat for Donald fucking Trump.
In Weisselberg's case, it isn't just for Donald. In Weisselberg's case, it's also for Fred, because this is what Weisselberg did for Fred Trump. And this is what Weisselberg has always done for the family. Mm. So his loyalty goes beyond just Donald Trump. I agree with you. Because of that loyalty, he will not throw Trump, Donald, under the bus. But I think the reason for that is a lifelong loyalty to the Trump family, starting with and most of all Fred.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, loyalty to an extent is fine. I get it. You know, you got to do what you got to do. There's, you know, I mean, in a normal company, you want to keep your trade secrets secret, right? So you need loyalty in order to maintain that. You don't want people engaging in industrial espionage and so on, stealing secrets and giving them to your competition or whatever. But in this case, Weisselberg's keeping secrets of illegal activity, allegedly. Yeah, yeah. And so looking at this, you go, why the fuck? What is compelling Alan Weisselberg to maintain this level of loyalty above and beyond to the point of going to prison potentially? And granted, it's not going to be, he's not going to end up in like Rikers Island or something like that. It's going to be something that's going to be a little more cushy, but a little more country clubbish.
Yeah, but if he's in a cell next to a Russian, I think, and I know Kimberly has expressed this. I think one of the last times you and I were together, I expressed this as well. He has more than just law enforcement. He has it to worry about. He has his life. He has. He's been laundering. Weisselberg has allegedly been laundering Russian money for decades.
Wow.
I think he may have more to fear from those Russian crooks than he does from the U.S. government.
So the alternative to going to prison is being assassinated by Russian mafia. That's a hell of a Sophie's choice right there.
He may see it that way, and prison might look pretty good in comparison, especially if he does end up in a country.
Right. Well, I don't think Weisselberg will be the end-all be-all in terms of the final nail in the Trump coffin as far as criminal indictments go. I think someone else is going to rise up, whether it's Ivanka, whether it's another. I know there was another low-level, I don't want to say low level, but a guy under Alan Weisselberg at the Trump Organization, Chris something or another, whose last name I forget. But that guy, I think, is already cooperating. I think there already is someone else cooperating from the Trump Organization.
I read that as well, and I believe that. I think there are others who have no reason to fear the Russian mob, but do have reason to fear federal prosecutors. And it's clear that they've got a lot of stuff, including things they haven't uncovered yet, the prosecutors. And other individuals are mentioned in that indictment. in addition to Weisselberg, the Trump Organization, and the unindicted co-conspirator, other individuals are mentioned as well.
Yeah.
This ain't over.
Right, right. Well, the other thing that will lead to ultimately Donald Trump going to prison is that Donald Trump and Junior and Eric, they keep confessing in public to doing all of this shit. I mean, just idiots. I mean, how hard is it for them to go, you know, it's our policy not to comment on ongoing investigations? I mean, that was the thing that when they were in the White House, that was the thing that they refused to say, refused to do, that would have helped them out of a lot of sticky situations.
When you're a schoolyard bully and you're accused of something without proof, you can simply deny it.
Yeah.
If you've been caught red-handed, then your move is, well, it's really not a big deal.
Right, right. Well, this
And by telling his base and by confusing all voters, or many voters anyway, by saying, eh, all companies do this, it's no big deal, this is clearly political.
Yeah.
They muddy the waters and they make our job more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are two instances of things they've been saying in public that just one is stupid. One is they're just confessing. The stupid one is they keep pulling this trick that you do when you're 12 years old and you get in trouble for smoking a cigarette in the boys' room or whatever stupid fucking thing 12-year-olds do. And you get in trouble for it and it's not the end of the world. But then you go, your parents go to punish you and you go, yeah, but those other kids, they're doing meth in the bathroom. And I was just smoking a cigarette and they're doing worse and they're robbing convenience stores. And that's the talking point from the boys, from Trump Jr. and Eric.
That muddies the waters of the seriousness of the crime. That creates doubt in the public's mind, certainly all of his supporters and some confused citizens in the middle, maybe those folks who aren't watching the news anymore, hear this, and then they think, well, yeah, that sounds reasonable, even though you and I know that it isn't.
Anyone who's been a kid knows that it isn't, because that's just the dumbest, that's the dumb kid excuse when they get in trouble for doing something wrong. And as I said, the other thing is the confessing. Trump said at his rally the other day, they go after good, hardworking people for not paying taxes on a company car. He said, come on, you didn't pay tax on the car or a company apartment. You used an apartment because you need an apartment because you have to travel too far to where your house is. Didn't pay tax or education for your grandchildren, he said. I don't even know. Do you have to? Does anyone know the answer to that stuff? Donald Trump pretends
Muddy
to not
water.
Know.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the same time, it's all like, well, yeah, we paid him with a company car and we paid him with tuition for his kids or his grandkids.
It's a confession. I saw a prosecutor retweeted something about that and said somewhere a defense attorney is banging his head against the wall.
Exactly right. Because now this is going to be brought up. This is going to be said. This is going to show intent. This is going to show knowledge of the crimes at the very least. And of course, if Trump or Junior or any of the other gaggle of morons end up getting questioned or deposed in all of this, it's going to be, well, I don't know. I don't know. And that's how they wiggle out themselves. I mean, that's the only recourse that they have is to just tell lawyers, tell the judge, tell whoever that they just don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember doing that. I don't remember authorizing a free apartment for Alan Weisselberg. Meanwhile, they're out in public going, yeah, we totally did all of that.
Muddying the water in the minds of the public. So, yeah, there's really two layers of evil going on there.
Right, right, right. Well, finally, I think in all of this, we kind of miss the fact that Trump seemed to tell Sean Hannity that he was going to be running again in 24. He didn't say it outright, but he really leaned into it. He really suggested that, I'm probably going to run. I'm going to run. So good. We have something to look forward to, right?
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not saying he won't. I'm saying he probably won't. He'll probably be too busy in court. As I said on a previous show, he's no longer Republican voters' first choice for a Republican primary were it to be held today. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let's see there's still some months and weeks ahead of us. I don't know that it's going to work out that way. I think he'd like to. In fact, I know he'd like to.
Yeah.
But I also think he's going to have to be a pragmatist at some point, even though he's never been before. If he has to be in court, he's not going to be able to be out on the campaign trail.
Well, there is so much going on in the world that can make it difficult for us to try to relax and to decompress. I spent an entire week relaxing and decompressing, mm-hmm. and it was helpful to have some CBD gummies on the side in case I needed them, right? And, you know, because the world is obviously scary. If you look at Twitter, your Twitter feed is terrifying. Your Facebook, you know, news feed, terrifying. But here's something that's not so terrifying, even though the name is kind of scary. There are CBD gummies called Sunday Scaries. So if you're looking for a way to decompress, Sunday Scaries can help. And don't worry, they're not scary. It's the opposite of scary. Visit SundayScaries.com. Use the promo code SEXYLIBERAL, all one word, at checkout to get 25% off your order. That's 25% off at SundayScaries.com with the promo code SEXYLIBERAL. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. These products are not intended for use by persons under the age of 18 years old. That's SundayScaries.com, promo code SEXYLIBERAL. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show. And lightning, I see bad times today. And don't go around the night, 'cause it's bound to take your life. There's a bad moon on the rise.
I got a great Bob Malone right here covering CCR, covering Creedence, the dude's Creedence. Bad Moon Rising from Good People. That's the name of the new album from Bob Malone. Yeah, link in the description. Oh, I think, you know what? I think Bob Malone is touring right now with John Fogerty.
Wow.
So I'm sure he's going to be performing. You know, it'd be so cool if they performed this song, this exact arrangement of this song.
It would. It would. Or if he ended with a song and Fogerty came out and did the original.
There you go. One. Or either half and half. Mix it up. Yeah. Mix it up. Doing a little of the original, a little of this cover. Excellent. The great Bob Malone. BobMalone.com.
Yeah, and you had a new music countdown show out, what is it, yesterday, the day before?
Oh, yeah. 4th of July. I had a new countdown show that took me all damn day to do because of my Windows 10 upgrade. Thank you very much. Yes. But
well, we were extra appreciative of it.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great way to get back into the swing of things. And, you know, because I didn't really spend all day talking like I normally do. So I had to get my voice back into condition. And it's a weird dynamic with talking on a podcast, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but you're already doing well. We just got word that the first segment that we just finished, is 90% effective against the Delta variant. So,
thank you for bringing that up, by the way, because Delta variant, you know what? The Delta variant is becoming a thing. And here's how I'm looking at the Delta variant. This is the perspective that I have on the Delta variant right now. And it's pegged off of my initial reaction to COVID really, really early on. I remember on this show, David Ferguson going, "Hey guys, you know, we should probably talk about this coronavirus thing." And it was like February of 2020. I'm like, "Oh, okay. I mean, we don't know what's going on with that." I mean, it wasn't a big news story at that point. No one was really overly panicking about it. But David's had the foresight to say, you know, this is going to be a big deal. And then Rachel Maddow came on and she did an entire A block on it. And then that led us all to believe, oh shit, yeah, this is going to be a big deal. Yeah. And so with this Delta variant, I'm seeing a lot of stories where people who are fully vaccinated are getting, and I'm talking about a significant number of people. I think a half of everyone who's gotten the Delta variant in Israel, half of everyone who's tested positive for it has been vaccinated, has had both of those vaccines.
The numbers are much, 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 much better than that here in the United States.
Yeah.
It's a much lower percentage. I wish I had the number handy if I'd known you were going to have that. But it's extremely low here in the U.S. Those who are vaccinated who pick up the virus don't get sick from it and certainly don't die from it.
Mm.
What they can do is pass it on to other people vaccinated or not, who can spread it to those who are not vaccinated, including children. You know, we're doing better about vaccinating kids. We haven't gotten all of them yet. The real concern, you know, if you're vaccinated, you're probably safe. The real concern should be that the Delta variant is 40 to 60% more contagious than the original virus, kind of like New Coke. and the concern is that as it brews out there among those who have not been vaccinated, it can and probably will mutate again. And it can continue to get more fierce as it does so. It may get to the point, because of the unvaccinated, that there's a strain out there, perhaps someday, very possible, I'd say, that can make us sick again. And so this is why it's really important. And I think the Biden administration is well focused on those who are reluctant to get shots, knowing it can never win over those who are refusing to get shots. And you should, as a citizen, know the difference, that some of your fellow citizens are refusing to get the shot, but other citizens haven't really closed that door. They're reluctant. Yeah, yeah. They have doubts. They have concerns. The Biden administration has a plan, actually multi-plans, for dealing with that. And I'm very excited about that and glad that they're acknowledging that problem and dealing with it. But, yeah, if there's anything to fear, I believe, from the Delta variant, it is that it little pools of it out there in places like Arkansas, the Ozarks, and certain red states that are under-vaccinated, that will create a swamp where the virus can multiply and mutate more. Yeah. And that's what we need to be concerned about.
Well, the other day I was paging through the Wall Street Journal, as I am wont to do. I say that sarcastically.
It landed on your doorstep, did it?
It did. It suddenly popped up out of nowhere. And I was like, "What? Why the hell am I holding a Wall Street Journal?" But here, July 2nd, just a few days ago, Dateline London, as the Delta variant of the coronavirus surges through the UK, almost half of the country's recent COVID-19 deaths are of people who have been vaccinated. And I see that lead. That's the lead of the story. And it goes on to say, well, you know, doctors and scientists aren't sounding the alarm about this yet, but here's some of the statistics. And then there's a Daily Beast piece from yesterday. The headline is Pfizer vaccine efficacy drops as Delta variant spreads, according to Israel's health ministry. It says the Pfizer-BioNTech coronavirus vaccine's efficacy dropped to 64% between June to July, according to data from Israel's health ministry. Comparatively, between May 2nd and June 5th, its efficacy was reported to be 94%. So that's a 30% drop in just about a month.
Yeah, well, and it's a different strain and a more contagious strain, to be sure. There's no question about that. Fortunately, you know, I, at least in this country, most people are not getting sick. Most people are not dying.
Yeah.
We were, those in the scientific community who are inclined to pray, were praying. No, I'm serious about this. Yeah. We're praying that they could come up with a vaccine that would be at least 60% effective.
Mm-hmm.
We were all blown away, scientists down to the rest of us, that they came up with vaccines that were 80 and 90% effective,
mm-hmm.
far, far exceeding our expectations. It's a good thing they did, because it allows us to even have 64% protection, which is, by the way, a little more than you get from a flu shot in terms of protection. Well, allows us to have 64% even for this mutated version of the disease. Like I said, it's future mutations we have to worry about. If you're vaccinated in the U.S., for now, you're fine.
Right.
In fact, I'm hearing that the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, the mRNA vaccines, remain like 80 to 90% effective against the Delta variant, at least in this country. I don't know if they're looking at new mutations. And I know the other countries you mentioned, including the UK, are not as well vaccinated as the United States.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the statistic I was reading was among people who were vaccinated. So,
right,
so
no, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, and so that's the concern that's my main concern about the Delta variant. Yeah, but what were you going
to
say?
Yeah, they have a larger pool of unvaccinated people to affect that number.
I see what you're saying. Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so, this all points back to people who are unvaccinated, right? This is...
As usual, we're in a tough spot. You know, when are we not in a tough spot?
Right.
But, you know, this is a situation where, You know, we've got a vaccine, and we, you know, people are trying to open up. There's a lot going on here, and some of it conflicts with other parts of it. We're, you know, just as the infections are increasing because of the variant in certain parts of the country, including California. I think half of the new cases in California are the variant. You know, and at the same time, we're opening up, including California. So we're doing some things that on the surface of it don't make sense and might have to be reversed.
But
we're in a weird spot because we have the vaccine. We're opening up. At the same time, infection rates are increasing in certain parts of the country. So, yeah, it's a weird time in that way.
What's the poop and nothing but the poop on the long-term side effects of this shit? Speaking specifically about, and I think it's too early to know what the Delta variant could manifest in the long run, but what are some of the things they're still pointing to? Do you know in terms of the original version of the coronavirus?
My biggest concern, and I think this was in the next to the last newscast I did, and it's toward the end of the newscast, and it's frightening. It's just, it terrified me to write the story, to read it, to write it, and to read it to others. It's the mental health effects. Oh my gosh, people! It's done crazy, violent things to people, causing them to do crazy and violent things.
Like dementia, things like that.
Oh, worse than that. A woman pulled up. I'm trying to remember some of the examples. A woman pulled up to a drive-in. You know, like a fast food drive-in window.
And
told them that she was afraid someone was going to kill her kids, and that the someone was her.
Oh my God!
And she had recovered. There are respiratory long-term effects. There are cardiac long-term effects, and to me, most frightening, mental long-term effects of the original. And certainly, we can expect the same from the variants, probably the same side effects, but worse, more so, I would suspect. And we really need to focus on that, Bob, because among the reluctant, among the folks out there who haven't gotten a shot but haven't closed the door on the idea, their biggest reluctance is, well, they produce the vaccine so fast. I want to see what the long-term effect of the vaccine is. What we can show them is the long-term effect of the disease. Show the, in addition to, you know, and facts don't work. And one of the things the Biden administration knows now is that in some communities, pastors are going to be the people who are most listened to. In other communities, doctors are going to be the ones who are most listened to by the reluctant. And that among younger communities, celebrities, social media influencers are the ones who are most likely to be listened to. And the Biden administration is now working very hard to exploit exactly those things and others.
Well, the bottom line in all of this is that I'm going to be taking the Delta variant and some of the other variants. I think there's a Gamma variant, there's an Epsilon variant, there's a number of different variants out there. I feel like I'm going to take these a little bit more seriously early on and keep a closer eye on what's happening.
It's not a bad idea.
I'm not necessarily panicking. I'm just thinking, well, I kind of missed the boat in February of 2020 when David was saying, yes, we should talk about this shit.
Well, you didn't. Were there. You were there. You were right on it at the time. I think the takeaway is that if you are vaccinated, you really don't have to worry too much for yourself about the Delta variant. Worry only about picking up the virus and passing it along to someone else right now.
Yeah.
But again, this is no time to stop paying attention to anything.
Right.
So stay up on the news. Encourage others to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And know that that Delta variant is out there. And in the stagnant pools of unvaccinated people in the Ozarks and other red parts of the country, this Delta variant is going to mutate into something even worse. And unless we can get a lot of those people vaccinated, we're not there yet. But there is there's a threat out there lurking, but we're okay for the time being. As in the early days of the original virus outbreak, we need to keep our eyes open.
Jesus Christ. You know, these red hats, the MAGA people, they're going to kill us all.
I've heard of them. They're certainly succeeding in killing each other in terms of the virus and their refusal to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
99.2% of the people who died from COVID-19 last month were not vaccinated.
Yep.
That's so fewer than 1% of the people who had been vaccinated were among those who died. It couldn't be more clear. And so we have to go into the proper demographics of the proper communities with the proper messengers and the proper message to get the reluctant, to win over the reluctant, knowing that we can't win over the refused and that they will have to suffer the consequences of their decision. Hopefully we can get their numbers down to a small enough level that it's not a threat to the rest of the populace. Or as Boris Johnson put it in the UK, we'll learn to live with it.
Yeah, yeah. That's the terrifying scenario, learning to live with it, constantly looking over your shoulder because we can't do the responsible fucking thing. You know, we got so many refuseniks and shirkers out there who just don't want to do it, just don't want to get the vaccine because of, for their own reasons, not recognizing that wearing a mask, getting a vaccine, these are all things that you do for the people around you.
It's not
necessarily
about
yourself.
Not about you. Absolutely.
Well, speaking of shots, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about who shot Ashley Babbitt. Also, my favorite story of last week, Donald Trump's new social media platform and anime porn. We're going to be talking about that right after.
What are you gonna say? Both of those things. Yeah. Both of those things sound like they're more fun than watching Joey Chestnut eat hot dogs. So I'm excited.
Back with more
the next segment.
Back with more show after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
You need to make a shift. Change of view and give yourself a lift. Yeah. Drive. Then the road is long. Ain't you getting tired of playing the same old song? Drive. I'm moving your home way. Don't let the world tell you what to say. Drive. It's like you never gonna stop. Tickets from the highway to the mountaintop.
The great Freak Bass. Wouldn't be a brand new month without a brand new single from Freak Bass, my friend Freak.
Yeah.
This one's called Drive. Love it. An excellent video for this one too. We had his previous single Get Down on the Indie Music Countdown on Sunday, on the 4th of July. I think that was the 4th of July. Yes, it was the 4th of July. Go download that now, by the way. Everywhere you get your podcast, just search for The Bob Seska Show, and you can find the Indie Music Countdown there, as well as its own channel, too, for your convenience. Freakbase.com to support Freak. By the way, BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit your songs to the show so we can play them here. Thank you for doing that. Thank you so much for sharing.
They are nothing if not prolific. I mean, I love their music, but they keep it coming, which is great. It's like you with podcasts. They keep supplying us with entertainment.
Yeah, that's right. I keep making all the stops because they keep ringing the bell. And that's the Kramer philosophy of driving the bus. With Freak Bass, what's great about Freak, and there are a few of other of our indie bands who also are releasing a bunch of singles, what they just decided to do over the course of the quarantine, the isolation because of COVID with pandemic, they started releasing one single a month, which I think is a great way to do it. If you're an indie band, they're basically creating a new model for releasing original material, original music. We're going to put out a new single once a month if we have something to put together, and that's what they're doing. And that by the way, keeps you fresh on the charts as far as this show goes, as far as other indie shows go. So, yeah, I strongly encourage the single a month approach to things. Yeah, yeah.
Record of the month club.
That's exactly right. So Donald Trump announced or asked the question loudly at his rally, one of his rallies over the past week or so. Who shot Ashley Babbitt? Because what we need to do, if we're red hats, if we're Donald Trump, if we're this fucking scary ass fringy Republican conglomerate of a-holes and monsters and fascists and racists, is what we got to do is we got to endanger the life of a Capitol Police officer by turning this guy into a monster. Right.
That's exactly what it is. It's a clear call. For his supporters to, find out who this guy is or woman and kill them. We can't underscore that enough.
Yeah.
They're doing everything they can. The Republicans, everything they can to sweep this under the rug, to minimize it, to change it into something it isn't, to rewrite history. We will not let them do that. That's one of the reasons Nancy Pelosi has established that commission to help get this on the record. I think her move to put Liz Cheney on the panel was brilliant. Trump himself could be called to testify in this. It'll be interesting to see.
Well, how does this evolve? At some point, it seems like Donald Trump's just going to say, yeah, go after that guy. Get that guy. Like, just come right out and say it. Because, I mean, right now, he's doing everything in the coded language. He's asking the question rather than
handing down the command.
Yeah.
That's always been his style. And again, it's just to create doubt and confusion and question and muddy waters.
Yeah. Well, then at what point does he get held responsible if people, because already he should be held responsible for the insurrection itself. Oh, we all know. Even Mitch McConnell said that Donald Trump is responsible for the insurrection that occurred at the Capitol on January 6th. So at what point, though, does that cross that threshold into the realm of illegality, of punishable crimes here? That's what's boggling the mind at this point. With regard to this, with regard to who shot Ashley Babbitt, at what point does reckless endangerment come into the equation here? And it hasn't yet. It hasn't yet, especially with Donald Trump. And I don't understand why that hasn't happened yet, because he's quite clearly endangering people's lives, right?
It's understandable. Yeah, there's that, you know, but it's understandably frustrating that we're not seeing the laws enforced in real time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the danger here, because you know what? It's like if you have a pet or a kid.
Yeah.
If you wait too long between the thing they did bad and the punishment, they won't associate the two.
Mm-hmm.
The punishment and the crime have to be closely associated.
Yeah.
And the farther they get apart, the more opportunity there is to muddy the water. The more opportunity there is for the fervor for justice to fade.
That's right.
And you don't want that to happen. And it's I know it's maddening and frustrating. I like to think that the wheels are turning, as they always do, very slowly, and that we are getting there.
Mm-hmm.
It is painfully slow, and you know, it may be time to spruce up the, I've been reading this lately, and I wholeheartedly agree with it. They've often referred to our form of government as the American experiment.
Mm.
But at some point, and I agree with what I'm reading, that at some point we just stopped experimenting.
Yeah.
We just said, okay, that's fine. We're done. And we're not. Clearly, there's much to be done, and I hope we can make those changes as well. But Trump is not going to turn on other people or start turning in other people unless he's really, really backed into a corner.
Yeah.
In the end, he'll never accept responsibility. What we do need, though, is for him to be punished. And although it's not happening in real time, I think it will happen. I think, very encouraging signs and clear paths to that happening. We're not there yet, kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there are two dimensions to this. There is, of course, the jurisprudence angle. Is Donald Trump going to end up doing prison time for some of this nonsense that he's engaged in? Some of the incitement to violence and all the rest of it. And then the other dimension is the court of public opinion. And that's almost as important as far as our elections go, as far as the power that Donald Trump is able to wield inside the Republican Party. And that goes back to what should have happened in the immediate aftermath of the January 6th insurrection, when Mitch McConnell was condemning Donald Trump.
Yeah.
In that moment. Yeah. Everyone was getting booted off of social media because they were deemed to be a threat to society. I mean, that's why Donald Trump was banned. I love when Lawrence O'Donnell brings this up in his monologues in his A block. He says, yeah, Donald Trump, the guy who was booted off of Twitter and other social media because he was deemed a threat to society. I just love when it's put that way because it's very concise, very biting. And so that, to me, when that all happened, when that all went down, that's when the legal accountability should have taken place, because then you also have the wind in your sails of public opinion as well. And I think a lot of Republicans who maybe even voted for Donald Trump went, you know, this is a bridge too far. I'm not going to go with him down this road.
And had we acted in that moment, I'm with you. I think we might have gotten something done. It would have been more effective. Now, 6 months have passed. Oh,
yeah.
We're not giving up, but we've lost that moment of fire.
Yeah.
We've lost, you know, we did not strike while the iron was hot.
Yeah. We had the initiative is how they put it in war, at least. You have the initiative and you keep the initiative. Yeah.
And then you lose the initiative if you don't do anything about it.
That's right.
And I understand there's a lot of progressive frustration about this, and I'm with you. I have nothing more to say other than I agree. It is extremely frustrating. And the bigger picture, you take a step back from this. Donald Trump is headed for ruin if he isn't there already. And I give you a good example, and this is maybe a positive note to hang on to. He's got a bunch of loans coming due next year, and none of the banks. I've forgotten what the fiduciary term is for this, but they don't have to extend those loans.
Right.
They don't have to extend any courtesy to him or any other loans whatsoever. In fact, because of the charges his organization, the charges his company now faces, his company cannot get more money. And his company's operating on loans to begin with.
Yeah.
So he's over. He's done. His corporation exists only on paper at this point. No other bank or financial institution, not even Deutsche Bank, I don't think at this point, will have anything to do with him.
Yeah, his entire financial status is built on debt.
He's ruined.
Yeah, it's built entirely on debt and illegal shenanigans. That's the only reason why Trump Organization and all of Donald Trump's subsidiary properties and other corporations, it's all floating on an entire ocean full of bullshit. It's just it's a sea of bullshit. He is so leveraged when it comes to debt, when it comes to things that he's doing to shave the corners off of how he keeps his books and how he gets his money and how he makes his revenue. It is just it's a colossal mess, and it's all coming due. The thing is, going back to the insurrection, it seems like if the legal action had taken place back after it happened, you wouldn't have this process that's going on right now, which is, let's turn the insurrection into a big nothing burger. And that's what the Republicans, which Fox News is engaged in right now, the entire Red Hat Entertainment complex, they're turning the insurrection into a big nothing, a big joke. And so now they're starting to chip away. Again, the old man in the sea, the Hemingway story, where it starts to get picked away and picked away and picked away. And then by the time actual legal comeuppance is handed down, then you've got half the country going, well, that's all bullshit anyway. Deep state, deep state, deep state. You know, it's just
fortunately at that point, the decision will be made by the court, not by public opinion. Mm-hmm. But as Nancy Pelosi knows very well, in fact, I think this is her primary operating principle, you do nothing without the predominance of public opinion. It's 6 months ago today was the insurrection, and we sit here and the lawmakers who led tours through the Capitol prior to the have gone unpunished. Mm-hmm. Matt Gaetz, separately from all of this, Matt Gaetz has gone unpunished for 6 months. This is insane, and I think Americans, but especially progressives, have every right to be angry about the fact that, okay, wheels are turning, but we're seeing no damn results. And it's time to do that. I hope it begins to happen soon, or that people rise up and demand it.
Yeah.
Because it's very frustrating, and it isn't happening. 6 months have gone by, and mm-hmm. here we are still.
Yeah.
And like you said, we've lost that initiative, that momentum.
Oh, that's right. Today is the 6 month anniversary. I completely
exactly
thank you for
today.
Mentioning that. Holy shit.
Exactly.
Well, that makes today. It even more appropriate that we're ruminating over this, because Jesus Christ, 6 months. Yeah.
They're muddying to the point that you were making. I just want to say again, it's muddying the waters. They're doing two things. They're downplaying it. It was a tourist thing. I didn't see anybody cross any red ropes. you know, it's just a complete fantasy. But at the same time, you have them saying, "Oh, it was the FBI. It was Antifa. It was BLM." No, so they're telling two stories. And what is the purpose of that? Why are the Republicans talking out of two sides of their mouth about what happened, and they're both wrong? Both of those stories exist for the same purpose, mm-hmm. to confuse, to muddy the water, to create doubt. Not reasonable doubt, just doubt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there are two things that I'm mainly interested in right now, which is that, uh-huh. one, Donald Trump has to be disgraced in some way. I mean, in a major, major way.
Public way. That will affect his popularity rating. And by the way, we're still seeing some chipping away at that.
Yeah.
And I think we'll continue to as prosecutions finally do come about.
And the other thing is putting down the movement. And that's why I'm so preoccupied with comeuppance for COVID and all of the irresponsibility regarding that. Because remember, 600,000 people are dead in the United States because of Trump's incompetence and irresponsibility. And so there's that plus the insurrection. And you combine all of these things, and you would have hoped that, Jesus Christ, is that going to be enough to put down the movement? And no, the answer is no. It's you know, it's just as strong as it was prior to January 6th. In fact, Donald Trump's favorability average, according to Real Clear Politics, is back to exactly where it was several days before the insurrection, which wasn't great. I mean, he didn't have a huge favor, but he's recovered. He's recovered from a big dip during the insurrection as far as favorability.
I would hardly call his numbers recovered. His numbers are much too low to consider this any kind of recovery. He's back to where he was at the time of the insurrection, which was really fucking bad.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so he's back up to fucking bad, down from a lower than okay, fucking bad.
That's a good way to put it.
All right. It's a matter of perspective. And no, we can never stop paying attention to him.
Yeah.
But as I said at the beginning of this, and everybody knows this, you know this, the people listening know this, Trump is but a symptom of the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is the existence of Americans willing to elect him.
Yeah.
The existence of Americans willing to support his presidency, mm-hmm. and the existence of Americans willing to perpetuate his ideas, whether he's present or not.
Really well said.
These are the people we have to fear. This is mm-hmm. the future we have to fear. These are the folks that, as you were just saying, these are the folks we have to deal with now.
Well, before we transition over to the postmortem show, we got to talk about Donald Trump's new social media platform. They're trying again. Gab failed. What was the one? Mike Lindell, or as Hal Sparks calls him, Mike Pillow. Pillow started Frank, that thing. There was one that I forget, one that I think Dan Bongino was involved in that failed too. Now Donald Trump has started one called Getter.
I was going to say loser, but
you could also change one letter and call it Gutter. Yeah,
because if you've been accused by a couple dozen women of sexual impropriety, you want to name your website Gitter.
That's exactly Gitter. Right. I mean, it's interesting that you noticed that right away. The thing that I noticed right away is Getter is the first half of that awful Larry the Cable Guy slogan, that catchphrase.
Oh, get her done. Yeah.
And so I don't know what it is. I don't know whether they were going for get her, like go get her, or if they're going to get her done. I don't know. It's one of those two.
What did the sexual predator name his website? Get her.
Get her, of course. Yeah,
it makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, in fact, it gets this. Because it's almost like a punchline, isn't it? And what makes it even funnier is now all of these alleged free speech platforms are going through the same thing that 8chan and 4chan went through, which is the... infiltration, the proliferation of all of the worst people on the internet. That's as soon as you do an open forum like this, unless you have administrative controls and rules, what happens is all these idiots and weirdos conglomerate onto these platforms. And now Getter, Donald Trump's new social media platform, is being flooded with anime porn. Which,
well,
yeah.
When you name your website Getter, that's what you're going to get.
I mean, okay, I thought you were going to say, I thought you were going to, well, there's nothing wrong with that, Bob.
Nothing wrong with anime porn. Yes, because Bob. I've always been, no, stop it. Stop it. That's not true. No, you're thinking of Rocky Mountain Mike. I'm sorry. It's something he stumbled across on Pornhub.
Are you saying that Rocky Mountain Mike is into tentacle porn? Is that it?
I don't know. I know one of his favorite websites, he'd know if it existed or not. That's for sure.
Okay, Jesus.
He does. Well, no, I'm just saying he talks about Pornhub a lot. That's all I'm saying. He probably accidentally stumbled across it.
That's right. Oh, shit, someone sent me a link, and I clicked on the link, and up comes tentacle porn on, no. We're making that up. Sorry, Mike. Shit. Is it no more music for you, Bob? No more song parodies for you?
Just having a little fun. Yes. He's the one who brings it up.
That's right. Well, suffice to say, we have no evidence that Rocky Mountain Mike is looking at anime porn.
No.
That's the purview of all the weirdos on Getter, Donald Trump's new social media platform that's going to fail in a matter of days. Ah, shit. Well, okay, lots more to talk.
No harm was intended in the making of this podcast.
Shit. Rocky Mountain Mike's going to file a slap suit against me. That's what's going to happen now. Defamation, Bob. So, on the post-mortem show coming up, we're going to talk about how the Supreme Court upheld two of Arizona's ridiculous Trump conspiracy laws. That was another fun bit of news over the week. Oh, Mark Zuckerberg is a goddamn blight. We've got an update on that. We're probably going to talk about Cosby a little bit here, too. Yeah. I wish we didn't have to, but here it is. It was plunked down in our laps in the middle of my break last week. Like, oh, really? Cosby's out? Oh, my God.
I'm afraid to say anything now.
That's all coming up on the Postmortem Show. In case you forgot, we do all kinds of bonus content, all kinds of additional talking on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. If you go sign up, for example, at $5 a month, here's what you get. You not only have the satisfaction of saying, I support this amazing podcast called The Bob Seska Show because it's so great and it's so wonderful. It's completely independent and I want to be a part of the entire ball game. Well, not only that, but you get a lot of bonus content too, including our Postmortem Show, which we record after this music is done playing. We just keep on talking for another 20 minutes or so, all kinds of stuff. In fact, the real fun happens on the Postmortem Show because it's behind the paywall, don't you know? And all that happens at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. So go sign up. Why don't you? You can sign up for a little more if you want to. There are other tiers, other levels of subscriptions that you can get, extra bonus content, including the after party and commercial-free versions of this show. So go and support us on Patreon. Why don't you? Okay. That's it for the show. We'll see you on the Postmortem Show. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
I need a lawyer.